Johnson & Johnson is being sued over its baby powder and whether it historically caused cancer for consumers. But a federal court just rejected the company's legal plan. Johnson & Johnson tried to use bankruptcy court to block nearly 40,000 lawsuits, but an appeals court yesterday said no, dismissing its bankruptcy filing. And plaintiff lawyers cheered the ruling. Here's attorney John Ruckteschel.
The bankruptcy courts were designed for honest companies and honest individuals who are in financial distress, not for billionaire, massively profitable companies like J&J.
This is complicated, but we have NPR chief economic correspondent Scott Horsley on the line to talk it through. Scott, hello.
Good to be with you.
So just to step back, what are the plaintiffs blaming Johnson & Johnson's baby powder for?
Well, J&J was facing tens of thousands of lawsuits from people who say they were sickened by the company's iconic baby powder. The plaintiffs claimed that talcum powder was contaminated with asbestos, a substance that's known to cause cancer and other ailments. Now, J&J denies that. The company insists its baby powder is safe, and it's since reformulated the product, switching from talc to cornstarch. But this was a potential problem for the company. J&J had already paid out several billion dollars in settlements and judgments and legal fees and was potentially facing a lot more. So the company turned to this controversial legal tactic called the Texas Two-Step. First, it assigned all the baby powder lawsuits to a spinoff company called LTL Management and then immediately put that company, that spinoff company, into bankruptcy.
So just trying to understand this then, Johnson & Johnson forms this new company which has this liability. That means Johnson & Johnson, kind of the original company, is walled off from any lawsuit liability and any financial damage?
Well, that's the good question. I mean, but there's a long history of companies that faced, you know, a flood of lawsuits that used bankruptcy as an efficient way to deal with those claims. We saw that, for example, with the makers of silicone breast implants, the Dalkin Shield IUD. But as you point out, the difference here is that J&J itself wasn't going bankrupt. Only the spinoff company was. And that's a fairly novel approach. A few other companies have tried this Texas two-step. And the jury is still out, really. Legal analysts and policymakers are watching these cases very closely. There were warnings before yesterday's decision that if J&J were allowed to pursue this tactic, then a lot of other profitable businesses might follow suit to limit their own legal liability. Mm-hmm. Some members of Congress even want to rewrite the bankruptcy code to prevent that.
So, Scott, just to understand what J&J was trying to do, was it to escape liability for these lawsuits and say, you know, sorry, this new spinoff company is bankrupt, so we can't pay?
Well, that's what the plaintiffs say that J&J was trying to do. Johnson & Johnson says it was simply looking for an efficient and orderly way to resolve these complaints.
Okay. Scott, you spoke yesterday to the plaintiff lawyer, John Ruckteschel. Here he is saying a company should only be able to declare bankruptcy if it's in financial distress.
If you're going to file for bankruptcy, you have to have some sort of financial distress that's legitimate and not manufactured just for the purpose of accessing the bankruptcy courts. And this is a huge vindication of the rights of tens of thousands of Americans who have been harmed by deadly products.
So now is this a green light for, you know, tens of thousands of people suing Johnson & Johnson in these asbestos cases?
It is. If this ruling holds, it means that Johnson & Johnson plaintiffs will get their day in court. Now, that's no guarantee they're going to be compensated. They still have to make the case that, in fact, their illnesses are tied to Johnson's baby powder, and that's by no means a slam dunk. But at least the opportunity won't be short-circuited by the bankruptcy court.
And I understand Johnson & Johnson says it plans to appeal this Third Circuit Appeals Court ruling. Finally, what is this case? Does this case tell us anything more broadly about companies using the bankruptcy courts to limit their exposure to lawsuits?
Well, it's not really clear. In this case, the appeals court found that J&J's spinoff company still had access to tens of billions of dollars worth of assets from the parent company, J&J itself. So it tossed the case saying there's no real financial distress. But the court really didn't address whether the Texas two-step spinoff itself was legitimate. So it's possible that other companies will continue to test this tactic. There are other cases now pending in other appeals courts. In fact, J&J originally sought to have this bankruptcy case heard in North Carolina, which it thought would be a friendlier setting. Hmm. Ultimately, though, the case was moved to New Jersey, where Johnson & Johnson's headquartered, and that's why the appeal was decided in Philadelphia.
And NPR's Scott Horsley following this. Scott, thanks so much.
You're welcome.